Greetings and welcome to Murray's Monday, the official podcast of the Murray's Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by John Rurink, Jacob Kanzler, and Michael Gerstein. A little later, we've got what?
Oh, maybe I shouldn't eat oatmeal during the podcast.
Really, it does smell really good. Kind of, what is that?
It's just brown sugar.
It's kind of cinnamon. We're gonna have lunch here in a few minutes, right?
What time is it?
It's 11 o'clock.
It's Michael's last day. He's going to eat as much as he wants.
Well, I guess so, yeah. You're going to ruin your appetite for your free lunch. Okay, well, Michael Gerstein will be eating oatmeal then while we're doing the podcast, allegedly, here. Not to put you on the spot, though, but that does smell really darn good. A little later on the podcast, Marilyn Kelly, former Supreme Court Justice. She's interested in running for the Wayne State Board of Governors, and we'll talk to her about that. But first, John, we had a couple of interesting stories break on Friday, both of which have political implications for the governor. Let's start with Scott Woosley. The fact that he decided to quit as opposed to being dismissed in a somewhat public and messy format, does that take this issue off the table for the Democrats?
It doesn't take it off the table, but what it does is take some of the immediacy out of their sails. This issue is going to be used by the Democrats almost like lances are used in bullfights. They're going to weaken the bull with this, with the Aramark contract, which also had a fine come out on Friday, $200,000 fine. The Andy Dillon extended pay, the NERD fund. What they're doing is they're going after the governor. His main credibility is that he's a good manager. And the Democrats are going to use every one of these issues repetitively throughout the next several months to sort of weaken that image and hopefully make him more vulnerable.
You know, actually, they're not called lances. They're called banderillos.
Banderillos.
Or banderillos. I don't know. My Spanish isn't all that great, but we just looked it up prior to the podcast. Jake, what's your thoughts here on how the Democrats have unearthed this stuff on Woosley?
Well, the one thing is, you know, John mentioned kind of the other tack things here. The Dems obviously try to fold this into their narrative with the Andy Dillon thing, the Treasury raises, and then the furniture gate contract, if you will, is what they call it. My take on this, in my opinion, is this Woosley ordeal is probably the most legitimate out of all those in that narrative, in that it was acquired by public information. It prompted action by the administration, whereas they've been able to bat away those other so-called scandals with statements and things like that, and they kind of died down. But this seemed to have forced actual action, so it makes me think that this was the real deal and something that they actually, you know, unearthed that was legitimate.
Well, it's hard to defend, that's for sure, and it looks real bad on an ad. You know, with the furniture contract, you could make the argument, well, it went out for bid, and this is what came out, and if it just happened to be this company, it just happened to be this company. With the Treasury raises, you could justify that as well by saying, well, if we don't pay them, they're going to go to the private sector and make a ton more money, and we don't get the better return on the investment. So by paying people more and keeping them around, we're going to keep good talent. So you can make those arguments. This, I think, comes a little too close to the general election for their taste. And even though we're not talking about state money here, this is still a government entity.
It's just the quantity. I mean, what was the total? Like
$200,000.
And he's only been there since what? Late 12?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an enormous amount of money per month if you just think about that on a monthly basis.
And I didn't know the Mishta person went to Dubai. That's pretty awesome.
You want to apply for the job?
No, the track record for these Mishta heads has not been very good recently.
Filet mignon.
I think they'll be eating McDonald's for the next time they go out.
I think they're going to be sticking straight to that dollar amount that the state reimburses. What is it, 30 for dinner, 20 for lunch or something like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's move on to the other issue here, the Aramark contract. Jacob, I'm going to start with you on this one. Does the fact they fine Aramark $200,000 take this issue off the table?
Well, I mean,
as far as a political issue,
I mean, it probably doesn't, because I mean, we've seen a fine before. We all know that this fine is not going to be a financial problem for the company. Number one, number two, you know, I don't know what's going to happen differently that's going to fix all these discipline problems with the company. I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, absolving them of the sickness allegations, the maggot allegations on Friday, but as was pointed out, there's still the issues with the turnover ratio, the meal shortages, all those other management issues. And until we see improvement there, I don't know what's going to change exactly.
You know what really struck me, John, was the change of tone we saw from the Department of Corrections on Friday. You know, previously, they'd kind of seemed fairly agnostic about the whole contract with Aramark. They were very much taking the bullets, almost saying, you know what, we're partially to blame for this too. I was surprised by that.
Well, it was a very fast transition. That contract came about very quickly. The problem that both the governor has and the department has is if you chose to cancel it, I'm not sure you're any better off, because if anything happens in the transition back to a state-run food system, you're doing it right in the middle in the full glare of a re-election campaign. So I don't know that switching or canceling that contract right now is any good either.
And my question that I'm wondering, maybe from a policy perspective, is how much special attention is this contract going to get? I mean, on both sides. I mean, we've had one maggot story after another, you know, leaked to the press. And then you also have this stepped-up enforcement that was supposed to start July 1st. You have all these other controls that were put in place just now on Friday with this fine. You know, how much special attention does this contract deserve on both sides, people who oppose it and people who are trying to make it work?
And how much money does it end up saving? Because it was originally supposed to save, what, $18, $15 million, something like that per year.
The number that was given on Friday was, I think we're still on track for $14 million to save annually. So
we'll see if we end up saving that kind of money, and if the money saved is worth the aggravation, because that's really what we're getting here.
The other question is, I mean, that's the last thing, right? I mean, this is supposed to save the state money. And, you know, the corrections officers have argued, you know, we're being pulled off our duties to the meal lines. You know, it would just be interesting to see how much time and, like, effort and, you know, staff wages are being diverted to keeping the Aramark people in line. Until we see any kind of numbers evaluation of that, that would be really interesting to find out.
So here's a question for you guys. How quickly will we see an ad that features filet mignon, limousines, and maggots?
Probably in September, when people are back from summer vacation or paying attention, but you know it's coming.
Tuesday after.
You know it's coming, right?
Tuesday after the holiday.
Yeah, right, exactly. So we just got done with the primary election, Tuesday, Wednesday morning. We were here pretty late. Good job, guys, by the way, on that. What did we learn from this election other than Jacob can still function at 5 in the morning and so can Michael Gerstein?
Well, I think we saw, I think we had kind of mixed results in the Tea Party, but maybe they did well in some places, not others. So, I mean, kind of a mixed bag for them in general.
What do you think we learned, John?
That Todd Corster talked about speaker almost on time with our prediction.
Like practically immediately?
Almost to the day when we said that story would come out.
Getting to the Tea Party thing, you know what I thought was kind of the takeaway from that is things like being a part of the Tea Party, being a part of a union endorsement will get you so far, but it won't get you all the way far. You know, you still have to do your work and you still have to run an aggressive campaign in order to be successful. I mean, let's take a look at Cindy Gamrat, for instance. I mean, she ran a really good campaign down there. She was victorious. There were other Tea Party candidates across the state who were kind of lower on the level and maybe didn't have the kind of campaign she put together, and they were not successful. And the same thing with union endorsements as well. You know, the unions by and large did pretty well. They won more than they lost. What we found was just because a union endorsed you didn't mean that, even in a highly Democratic area, it didn't mean that you were an automatic shoo-in. I think the lesson we learned here is that it doesn't necessarily matter where your persuasion is on this spectrum, the philosophical spectrum, if you're not willing to do what it takes to get out there, knock your doors, get your mail out there, and be smart about your campaign, because you'll still lose.
This is true. But it also, what we learned Tuesday was the power of an endorsement by a retiring incumbent. I mean, look at what Representative Camp did for John Moulinar up in the 4th versus a huge advertising expenditure. You know, and then similarly in Bishop in the 8th with Mike Rogers. So I think we took that away as well.
I think you're right there, John. Well, we've got conventions now. That's the next step in the process. The primary's behind us. And we're a couple weeks away now from the Republican and Democratic conventions, at which they're going to fill out the rest of the ticket behind the gubernatorial nominee. One person who's looking for a spot on the Democratic ticket is a former Supreme Court Justice, Marilyn Kelly. She wants to be on the Wayne State Board of Governors. Let's talk to her about her quest there.
Joining me on the other end of the line is former Supreme Court Justice Marilyn Kelly. Appreciate you joining us on the podcast today.
It's good to be here.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about your interest in the Wayne State Board of Governors. We thought that you might be out of the public spotlight, but it sounds like you're interested in getting involved in this. Why is that?
Well, it's mostly because I have a long involvement with Wayne University, and right now I'm actually teaching there in the law school. I'm a member of the Board of Visitors, and I'm also co-chair of a capital fundraising drive that the law school and the university are undertaking this year. So my involvement with Wayne goes way back. I'm a graduate of the law school and continues to the present time.
Tell me about why you decided you wanted to get back into teaching after you were aged out of the Supreme Court.
I think teaching's always been a passion of mine. In a sense, I felt I was always doing some teaching while I was on the court because, you know, judges are often asked to talk to members of the public and to students and lawyers, of course, and other professionals. So a form of communication, a kind of teaching has been with me throughout the 24 years I was on the court. And I was a teacher, as you know, before I became a lawyer.
Where are we in the process right now? Get on the ticket to be on the Board of Governors for the Democratic Party.
Well, the convention will be the 23rd of August, and the delegates will elect their nominees, and those nominees then will go on the ballot in November. There are two openings on the Board of Governors now. Two of the members of the board are stepping down. Gene Dreiker and Debbie Dingell. So both the Democrats and the Republicans will put up two candidates. Other parties may put up candidates as well. And then the voters will be asked to pick two among those candidates at the general election.
And as far as getting labor support, obviously that's always been a critical part for candidates who are running on the Democratic ticket to get some support from labor. Where are you at right now in getting that support?
I feel that I have a lot of support right now. I think some of the formal decision-making in that regard hasn't been made yet, but I am a member of the union at Wayne, the Federation of Teachers for Adjunct Teachers. So I sort of have a leg up, you might say.
What do you think is the pressing issue as it comes to universities, and maybe in particular Wayne State, but universities in general?
Money is always a pressing issue, and certainly it is right now. Wayne's undertaking a major fundraising drive. The amount of money available from the state has decreased, you know, in recent years. It's essential for a school like Wayne to be able to keep tuition low, because it draws so much from the community in the Wayne County and Detroit area. I can remember from the time I was a student how Wayne always stood out as a place where you could go if you weren't rich and get a good education, and it should continue to be that way.
Do you feel like there's more that the legislature could do on this front? And if so, what would you like to see as far as the funding scheme or formula for universities?
Well, of course, I think that the legislature should try to do more. And now that the state's economy is improving, it would be remiss not to shore up its support for all the universities, frankly, certainly for Wayne.
You know, I was talking with a friend the other day who just received a law degree, and he told me how difficult it is to find work for young lawyers just starting off.
Right.
To pay off these enormous college debts. Talk about that issue and if there's a potential solution out there for this.
It's a good issue for you to bring up. Certainly true. It's astounding. And, you know, in the old days, you simply didn't go to school if you didn't have a way of finding the money to pay as you went. But now, of course, students have this wonderful opportunity to borrow if they can't find money. But it can be overused, of course, and is, and students are running up tremendous debts before they graduate, and then the market doesn't always come through for them with the jobs that pay what they need, what the students need to get rid of those debts. The federal government has made available some student loan forgiveness programs, particularly for students in the law schools who are going to go into public service work. And that, of course, is a big help for the students. other programs of this type are possible and should be looked into, in my opinion.
And then if there was some kind of system to do statewide funding of higher education, I know that the Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer had a plan out there. She called it the 2020 plan. I know that another state lawmaker had another idea out there, Vicki Barnett. Is that realistic? And even if it was realistic, is it a road that we should travel down?
Well, you know, the legislators have to look at the whole picture when they make decisions like this. But it's certainly a wonderful goal. And I think it can be made realistic if the legislature becomes focused on it, and the governor, of course.
I also want to get your impressions on the Supreme Court as it is right now. I know that you supported Bridget McCormick for that post, and she was elected. How do you think she's doing, and how do you think the Supreme Court in general has been operating since you left the bench?
I can only say that they appear to be operating well. I know that they have many tough decisions before them that tend to divide them philosophically, and it's always a challenge to retain relations among the seven to make it possible to continue to work well. I wish them the best in that, frankly.
There is few openings for the Supreme Court this go around. I know the Democrats have a couple of candidates that are interested in running, and there is still one slot yet on the Democratic ticket. Have you offered up any suggestions on somebody that you think would be a good candidate for Supreme Court?
No, I haven't. I haven't been involved in that.
But very good. I appreciate the time. Marilyn
Kell,
Supreme Court Justice and candidate of the Wayne State Board of Governors, appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks to John, Jacob, and Michael Gerstein. This is your final podcast with us. Final day for MERS, for now anyway.
Yeah.
Unless we bring you back.
Right. I think we should go to El Oasis for lunch, by the way.
El Oasis?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
It's delicious.
So, yeah, if anybody wants to follow the MERS podcast, we are going to be at El Oasis. Where is that?
It's on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, are you talking about the truck?
We're going to gather on a
food
truck later.
We're going to the food truck.
It's really good.
We're going to have to.
I mean, it's the best Mexican food I've had in Lansing.
Well, you're going to have to get cash out then, John. I don't think they take a card there.
Mm-hmm. They do take cards for orders over $10. I go there a lot, so I don't know
the answer to this. Oh, I know it's going to be really trendy because we'll be gathered on a food truck, so there's nothing trendier than that.
It's a few different colors.
It's not orange anymore?
Not just orange. I think there's green on there as well.
They don't have any seating there. We're going to have to bring this back, right?
They have a few picnic benches if you want to sit there, but they're a little state.
And it's going to be raining shortly.
Oh, that's a good point. We better get moving on this. All right, we're going to get the podcast up so we can get to the taco truck before it pours on us. So until next week, I'm Kyle Malin. Take care.